Let us humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne again, once again. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your holy Sabbath day, giving honor and praise to your name, Father, because truly you inhabit the praises of Israel. And we ask, Father, that you would raise up a chosen people, Israel, those who will rule with El in these last days, so that we would give honor and glory to you, Father, and that we would fulfill the great commission that you've commanded us to do. Help us, Father, as we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace, help us as we go forth to share that great hope of the coming kingdom with those around us, with those who need to hear, with those who are being called to the wedding supper, the banquet of Yahweh. Father, you sent your servants to the highways and out into the byways to bring them in so that they can come to this wedding feast, so that they can be a part of this kingdom which is soon coming upon this earth. Help us, Father. Help us to be faithful. Help us to do that which is right in your sight. And forgive us, Father, for the sins that we may have committed against you in our ignorance, Father. And, Father, it seems that every day is a process. Every day we're striving to get closer to you. But help us, Father, not to reject you, not to sin against you, but that we would humbly bow before you and that we would yield, Father, and that we would show you that we love you. And we thank you, Father, for calling us from out of our sinful lives into your marvelous light to give glory to you, Father. There's nothing we can do, Father. We know that we're sinful creatures. All we can do is turn to you. You've done all the rest by giving us your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, who gave us an example of how we should live our lives, how we should turn to you, Father, to overcome this world and Satan the devil. Help us, Father, to take ourselves out of the way. Too often we put ourselves in the way. So help us to accept that great sacrifice of Yahshua the Messiah, to get out of the way, out of our own way, so that we can receive, Father, the blessings from on high and take that invitation and be at the wedding supper, the wedding banquet of the Lamb and his bride. We thank you for all of these favors and blessings and for calling us out of this sinful world into your marvelous light. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. This message is entitled The Power Behind the Throne, Part 3. The power behind the throne has many different aspects. When we started this series, we saw how Jezebel was the power behind the throne of Israel for evil, bringing the worship of Baal to corrupt Israel and her daughter Athaliah doing the same in Judah. We also saw that the throne of Yahweh is with men. The kings of the earth in Judah sit upon the throne of Yahweh. So Almighty Yahweh ordains the rule of man and the power that is behind every throne. Today we're going to look at Queen Esther to see how she was a worthy woman, or Ashes Tayil, a virtuous woman. That word Ashes is number 802 in the Hebrew. And you spell it E-E-S-H-E-T, Asia. And Kail is C-H-A-Y-I-L, number 2428 in the Hebrew. And it means a virtuous woman. Bride of Yahshua has to be a virtuous woman. See? When I was in Texas 2 weeks ago doing a wedding, I told all the men that were present to read Proverbs 31, 10 to 31, each week to their wives. For those women who don't have husbands, let's turn there now and I'll read it. Okay? That's Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 to 31. It says, a worthy woman, a virtuous woman in the Hebrew, who can find? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he shall have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her bread from afar. She rises also while it is yet night and gives food to her household and their task to her maiden. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She girds her loins with strength and makes strong her arm. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp goes not out by night. She lays her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She stretches out her hand to the poor, yes, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all the household are clothed with scarlet. She makes for herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. When he sits among the elders of the land, she makes linen garments and sells them and delivers girdles to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the law of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done worthily, but you excel them all. Grace is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that fears Yahweh, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gate. Now, again, like I said, this was an assignment I gave all of the men to read to their wives so that it's something that they would be able to understand and that they could see that this is what Yahweh is looking for. But see, this Ashes Kail, this worthy woman, this virtuous woman, has to be each one of us. We have to be that for our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, who is the bridegroom, and we the bride. When I returned from Texas, we had a little layover, you might say, in Baltimore, and I visited my mom, and had a wonderful conversation with her. I'd missed her, and we were just talking about my dad, and again, this weekend, we got Father's Day coming up on Sunday, and I know she's going to really miss him even more. But one of the things she said, she talked about how much she missed the little thing that he did for her. Like when she would go out, she would be coming home, I guess, later that evening or whatever, from church or whatever. He would have the light on for her. And see, of course, now he's not there, that light's not on. So these little things that she noticed, and we were talking about a few other things, but, you know, when we look at the larger picture, her to him. I know she was considered a worthy woman as far as his eyes are concerned, but you know, when we have this relationship, the bride and the bridegroom, we have to look at the purpose that Yahweh has placed there. There's a purpose for that worthy woman for in our lives, whether it's our wives or us to Yahshua. You know, there is a power there, you know, that's behind the throne. Each one of us is supposed to be a king in our own house. Turn over to Esther chapter 1. And I want you to think about just, you know, what I said there about my mom and how she realized that all of the little things that we have to do for one another in that relationship, whether it's husband and wife, and even as you think about what Yahweh has done for you. Even Dorothy had mentioned earlier how Yahweh is our husband. And these things that he does for us, and we're going to look at some of those a little later, but we're going to start right now in Esther chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, this is Ahasuerus who reigned from India even to Ethiopia, over 127 provinces, that in those days when King Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace, in the third year of his reign he made a feast to all his princes and his servants. The power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him when he showed the riches of his glory and kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty many days, even 180 days. That's a half a year. And when these days were fulfilled, the king made a feast to all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace. There were hangings of white cloth, of green and of blue, fastened with cords, of fine linen and purple, to silver rings and pillars of marble. The couches were gold and silver upon a pavement of red and white and yellow and black marble. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance according to the bounty of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. None could compel, but so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Also Vashti, the queen, made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Bitha, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abitha, Zethar, and Carcass, the seven chamberlains that ministered in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by the chamberlains. Therefore was the king very angry. His anger burnt in him. Then the king said to the wise men who knew the time, but so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. And the next to him were Arsena, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Merez, Marsena, and Memucan, seven princes of Persia and Media, who saw the king's face and sat first in the kingdom. What shall we do to the queen Vashti according to the law? Because she has not done the bidding of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlain. And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen has not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen will come abroad to all women, to make their husbands contemptible in their eyes. When it shall be reported, when it shall be reported, excuse me, the king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. And this day will the princes of Persia and Media who have heard of the deed of the queen, say the like to all the king's princes, so will there arise much contempt and wrath. If it please the king that there go forth a royal commandment from him, let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate to another that is better than she. And when the king's decree, which he shall make, shall be published throughout all his kingdom, for it is great, all the wives will give to their husbands honor, as the worthy women do, according to what I read in Proverbs 31:10-31. Both great and small, and the saying pleased the king and the princes. And the king did according to the word of Memucan, for he sent letters to all the king's provinces and to every province according to the writing of it, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house and should speak according to the language of his people. Now we're going to continue in Esther chapter 2. Starting in verse 1. And after these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was pacified, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servant that ministered to him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king. And let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins to Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, to the custody of Haggai, the king's chamberlain, king of the women, and let their things for purification be given them, and let the maiden that pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. There was a certain Jew in Shushan the palace, whose name was Mordecai, the son of Yair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captives that had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is, Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maiden was fair and beautiful. And when her father and mother were dead, Mordecai took her for his own daughter. Now, a lot of people get this mixed up, but this was his cousin. Mordecai wasn't her uncle. It was his uncle's daughter. Drop down to chapter 2, verse 16, it says, now, after all these things, it says, so Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebet, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained favor and kindness in his sight, more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast to all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast, and he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the bounty of the king. Now, we have to understand that everything happens for a particular reason. Yahweh knows the end from the beginning. But see, Vashti had proven herself not to be worthy to be queen. But Esther was just the opposite. She proved herself to be a worthy woman, Ashes Kayil. We're going to go to chapter 3, Esther chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 1. After these things, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him and the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed down and did reverence to Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not down, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants that were in the king's gate said to Mordecai, "Why do you transgress the king's commandment?" Now it came to pass, when they spoke daily to him, that he listened not to them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand. But he that told them that he was a Jew, he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not down, nor did him rest, then was Haman full of wrath. But he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had made known to him the people of Mordecai. Therefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. Now, Haman represents the evil because immediately he's being played, he's being used to try to destroy Yahweh's people. The power behind the throne, you have to look at it from a lot of different perspectives. Esther chapter 4. So what Haman did is he went to the king and got the king and said, there's a people that don't keep your law. And it's not worth having them around. You know, sign this writing so we can get rid of them. And the king went on and did it. And when he stamped stuff with his seal, cannot be reversed. Verse 1 of Esther 4, it says, "Now when Mordecai knew all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes, he tore his clothes, and put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out in the middle of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. And he came even before the king's gate, for no one might enter within the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, wherever the king's commandment and decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes, because they knew that they had a like a noose around their neck. They knew at a certain time, at a certain date, that they would be destroyed." Verse 4 says, "And Esther's maidens and her chamberlains came and told her The queen was very grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take his sackcloth from off him, but he received it not. Then Esther called for Hathach, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and charged him to go to Mordecai to know what this was and why it was. So Hathach went forth to Mordecai to the broad place of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the exact sum of money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasury for the Jews to destroy them. Also, he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given out at Shushan to destroy them, to show to Esther and to declare it to her and to charge her that she should go into the king to make supplication to him and to make requests before him for her people. And Hathach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. And Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a message to Mordecai, saying, all the king's servants and all the people of the king's province do know that whoever, whether man or woman, shall come to the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law for him, that he be put to death, except those to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai bid them return answer to Esther, think not with yourself that you shall escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if you altogether hold your peace at this time, then will relief and deliverance come to the Jews, the worshiper of Yahweh, from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. So we have to understand, when Yahweh does certain things in our lives, It sometimes he's doing it for a special purpose, for such a time as this. Because these things are going to come upon the whole world, this tribulation for 3.5 years. And Yahweh is raising up a people that are going to be able to go through. They're going to be hidden of Yahweh. They're going to be his people. They're going to be blessed because they're being faithful. They're not accepting the mark of the beast. They're not accepting the times that we're living in. They sigh and cry over what's going on around them, the sin that is so prevalent in this world today. He's looking for a special bride. He's looking for a special people. Those who are a virtuous woman, a mighty, Ashes Kail, which means a strong woman. But this strong bride that Yahshua is looking for is going to be able to overcome this world. In verse 15, then Esther bid them return answer to Mordecai, go gather together all the Jews, all the worshipers of Yahweh that are present in Shushan, and fast for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast in like manner, and so will I go into the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Isaiah chapter 61. In Isaiah chapter 61, we'll start in verse 6. It says, but you shall be named the priest of Yahweh. Men shall call you ministers of our Elohim. You shall eat the wealth of the nation, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. Instead of your shame, you shall have double. And instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be to them. For I, Yahweh, love justice. I hate robbery with iniquity. And I will give them the recompense in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which Yahweh has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in Yahweh. My soul shall be joyful in my Elohim. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the sovereign Yahweh will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. And these things are going to come forth through the bride. See? And this is going to happen in the kingdom. And we're going to be called the priest of Yahweh because we're going to overcome this world because we were willing to do that which is right and we've keeping the everlasting covenant because Yahweh is faithful. He's going to come through with that which he promised to his people. Isaiah chapter 62, we're going to continue reading. Verses 1 to 5, it says, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a lamp that burns. And the nations shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of Yahweh shall name. And you shall also be a crown of beauty in the hand of Yahweh, and a royal diadem in the hand of your Elohim. You shall no more be termed forsaken, neither shall your land be any more termed desolate. But you shall be called Hephzibah, and your land Beulah, for Yahweh delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your Elohim rejoice over you. And Yahweh is rejoicing. He is. He is blessing his people. He's rejoicing over each one of us that is faithful in keeping the covenant law. Turn over to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verses 4. We'll read on down to verse 10. It says, one thing have I asked of Yahweh, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Yahweh and to inquire in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me secretly in his pavilion. He's going to protect us. In the covert of his tabernacle will he hide me. Like under the shadow of his wing. And now, shall my head be lifted up above my enemies all around me? And I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to Yahweh. Hear, O Yahweh, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Yahweh, will I seek. Hide not your face from me and put not your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Cast me not off, neither forsake me, O Elohim of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then Yahweh will take me up. Esther had neither father nor mother. She had Mordecai, who took her under his wing and protected her and raised her. And he did it in the name of Yahweh. He was doing Yahweh's will. Verse 11, teach me your way, O Yahweh, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. And we see that the enemy of Yahweh, the enemies are always trying to destroy Yahweh's people. And that's what Haman was doing. He was just doing Satan's work, trying to destroy Yahweh's people. Verse 12, it says, deliver me not over to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and such to breathe out cruelty. Back over in Esther chapter 5. Now it came to pass, this is after the fasting. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel. She's the queen, and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the entrance of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And this is what we're trying to do, brethren. We want to obtain favor in the sight of Almighty Yahweh, who is the true king. And the king held up to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then the king said to her, what do you want, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you, even to half of the kingdom. And Esther said, if it seems good to the king, let the king and Haman come this day to a banquet that I have prepared for him. Then the king said, cause Haman to make haste, that it may be done as Esther has said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said to Esther at the banquet of wine, what is your petition? It shall be granted to you. And what is your request? Even to half the kingdom it shall be performed. Then answered Esther and said, my petition and my request is if I have found favor in the sight of the king. And if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king has said. Then went Haman forth that day joyful and glad of heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, he was filled with wrath against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself and went home, and he sent and brought his friends and Zeresh, his wife. And Haman recounted to them the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and all the things in which the king had promoted him and how he had advanced him above the princes and the servants of the king. Haman said, moreover, yes, Esther the queen, let no man come in with the king to the banquet that she prepared for but myself. And tomorrow also I am invited by her together with the king. Yet all this avails me nothing so long as I see Mordecai the Jew, that worshiper of Yahweh, sitting at the king's gate. Then Zeresh, his wife, the power behind Haman's throne. See? she said, let a gallows be made 50 cubits high, and in the morning speak to the king, that Mordecai may be hanged on it. Then go merrily with the king's banquet. And this, the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. We're going to go over to Esther chapter 7. See, when these things are going on in our lives, we don't always see the details of how Yahweh is working things out. Hindsight is always 20/20 when you're looking back. But when things are going on in your life, you don't always see the wonderful things that Yahweh has set up so that we can overcome things that are there. Because the devil is trying to destroy Yahweh's people, and that's at every turn. But he can only do it if we sin against Almighty Yahweh. We saw that when Israel went into the Promised Land and Balak was trying to get Balaam to curse the people. And he said, I can't curse a people that Yahweh has blessed. And this is why we have to understand this. As the bride of Yahshua, we cannot be cursed unless we sin against Almighty Yahweh. So in Esther 7 it says, so the king and Haman came to the banquet with Queen Esther, with Esther the queen. And the king said to Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is your petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted to you. And what is your request? Even to half the kingdom it shall be performed. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in your sight, O king, and it pleases the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and for bondwomen, I had held my peace. Although the adversary could not have been compensated for the king's damage. See? So you see, Haman was playing the role of the adversary. And there are always an adversary in our lives, brother. We just have to recognize him. Verse 5, it says, then spoke King Ahasuerus and said to Queen Esther, who is he and where is he that dares presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, an adversary and an enemy, even this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king arose in his wrath from the banquet of wine and went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make requests for his life to Esther the queen. But he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine. And Haman had fallen upon the couch on which Esther was. Then said the king, will he even force the queen before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Then said Harbona, one of the king's chamberlains that were before the king, behold, also the gallows is 50 cubits high, which Haman has made for Mordecai, who spoke good for the king, stands in the house of Haman. The king said, hang him on it. So they hang Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's wrath was pacified. See, Haman had rolled a stone trying to destroy Mordecai. And that stone rolled back on him, the same gallows that he built to kill Mordecai, who was a man of Yahweh. He dug a pit so that Mordecai would fall in it. But it ended up Haman fell in his own pit. because he got hung on the same gallows. We're going to continue. Esther, chapter 8, it says, on that day did King Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jew's enemy, to Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was to her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. And Esther sent Mordecai over to the house of Haman. And Esther spoke yet again before the king and fell down at his feet and supplicated him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out to Esther the golden scepter. So Esther arose and stood before the king, and she said, if it pleases the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and this the thing seemed right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews that are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come to my people? For how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then the king Ahasuerus said to Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, the worshiper of Yahweh, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and they have hanged upon the gallows, and him they have hung upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write you also to the Jews as it pleases you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring for the writing which is written in the king's name, and sealed with the king's ring. No man may reverse. Remember what Jezebel did with Ahab's ring when she was trying to get the vineyard of Naboth. She sealed it with Ahab's ring. She was the power behind the throne. Now Mordecai has been given this authority of the king to write these letters and seal it with the king's name. So you can do it for good or you can do it for evil. You can be the power behind the throne as Yahweh's people. We have to be a holy and righteous people before Yahweh so that we can be the bride of the Messiah, who is the bridegroom, who is soon coming to this earth to claim his bride. Verse 9, it says, of Esther 8, then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month, which is the month Sivan, on the 23rd day of it. And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded to the Jews and to the satraps and the governors and the princes of the provinces, which are from India to Ethiopia, 127 provinces, to every province according to the writing of it, and to every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing, and according to their language. And he wrote in the name of King Ahasuerus, and sealed it with the king's ring, and sent letters by post on horseback, riding on swift steeds that were used in the king's service, bread of the stud, in which the king granted the Jews that were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them, their little ones and women, and to take plunder of them for a prey. Upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, a copy of the writing that the decree should be given out of every province, which published to all the people, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves of their enemies. So the post rode upon swift steeds that were used in the king's service, went out, being hurried and pressed on by the king's commander. And the decree was given out in Shushan the palace. And Mordecai went forth from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a robe of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan shouted and was glad. And the Jews had light and gladness, joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, wherever the king's commandment and decree came, the Jews had gladness and joy, a feast and a good day. And many from among the peoples of the land became worshipers of Yahweh. For the fear of Yahweh and the fear of the Jews had fallen upon them. Almighty Yahweh is going to do the same for his people in these last days. There's going to be a fear of Yahweh's people. But the fear of Yahweh, he's placing the dread on these people. Turn over to Revelation chapter 19. We saw there in Esther where Mordecai had put on the fine linen. In Revelation 19, verse 6, it says, and I heard, as it were, a voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thunder, saying, Hallelujah! For Yahweh our Elohim, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be very glad, and let us give glory, the glory to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife has made herself ready. And it was given to her that she should herself in fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And we know righteousness is the keeping of the commandments. And that's what we have to do to make ourselves ready to be the bride of Yahshua, who is soon coming in search of that bride. The marriage supper, the marriage supper of the Lamb is soon coming. We have to be ready. We have to be ready. The question is, are you going to be ready? Are you doing the things necessary right now to prepare yourself, to prepare your lives? In Luke chapter 14, verse 15, it says, and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of Elohim. But he said to him, a certain man made a great supper, and he bid many, and he sent forth his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said to him, I have brought a field, and I must needs go out and see it. I pray you have me excused. And another said, I have brought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray you have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And the servant came and told his master these things, and the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant,
go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, Master, what you did command is done, yet there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and constrain them to come in that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men that were bidden tasted my supper. We know that Almighty Yahweh is the one that is out bidden. He's calling the people to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But they're out making excuses. They're not worthy. But those who are worthy, like the virtuous woman, who are doing the things that are necessary to provide, to be ready for Yahshua the Messiah. When they are called, they're answered. Turn over to Revelation chapter 21. Verse 1, it says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were gone, and the sea is no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from Yahweh, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh is with men, and he shall tabernacle with them, and they shall be his people. And Yahweh himself shall be with them and be their Elohim. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. The first things are passed away. And he that sits on the throne, behold, I make all things new. And he says, write, for these words are faithful and true. And he says to me, they have come to pass. I am the Aleph and the Tau, the beginning and the end. And I will give to him that is thirsty of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his El, and he shall be my son. But for the fearful and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the fornicators, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, the second death. Because they're like Haman. They're seeking their own. They're not seeking the bridegroom. They're not seeking the kingdom of Yahweh. They want this life. Verse 9, it says, and there came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls who were loaded with the seven last plagues, and he spoke with me, saying, come here, I will show you the bride and the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from Elohim, having the glory of Yahweh, her light was like a most precious stone, as it were a jasper stone, clear as crystal, having a wall great and high, having 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written on them, which were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east side, 3 gates, and on the north, 3 gates, and on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that spoke with me had for a measure a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates of the walls of it. And the city lies four square, and its length of it as great as the width. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the width and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall of it 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like pure glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, and the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, and the 11th, Jason, and the 12th, amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the several gates was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple within it, for Yahweh El Shaddai and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city has no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine upon it. For the glory of Yahweh did light it, and the lamp of it is the Lamb. And the nations shall walk amidst the lights of it, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it, and the gates of it shall in no wise be shut by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything unclean, or that makes an abomination and a lie, but only they that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I hope and pray that each one of us would rise up and fulfill the Ashes Kail, the worthy woman, that each wife would be that for her husband, and each husband would be that for his wife. And each of us would be that for our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, the true bridegroom, who is coming soon to claim his bride. We have to overcome this world and Satan the devil. And to do that, we have to be faithful. We have to be the power behind the throne. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as we seek to do his will in these last days. Let us humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne at this time. Father Yahweh, again, we come before you thanking and praising your holy name, Father, for giving us your son, Yahshua the Messiah, the bridegroom. We ask that you would prepare your people as the bride to receive and to be there at the wedding supper of the Lamb, so that we can marry and be a part of this kingdom to come. Each one of us, Father, is seeking to do that which is right in your sight. Forgive us for the sins that we've committed that so easily beset us. Strengthen us, Father, and let your light shine within each and every one of us as we try to emulate Yahshua the Messiah. Forgive us, Father, if we fall short. And we know that we have an advocate with you, Yahshua. And his shed blood cleanses all our sins. So help us, Father, to show that love which was manifested toward each and every one of us through Yahshua the Messiah, that we can show that love to those that are around us, our neighbors, even our enemies. So again, we come before you humbly, thanking and praising your name, Father, for calling us out of this sinful world into your marvelous life. Help us to have those righteous acts that consist of the fine linen, so that we can be a part of the soon coming kingdom. In Yahshua's holy name we pray. Hallelujah. For our closing song,